Hi, my name is Hannah Lynn Miller, and I'm obsessed with three things: fashion, therapy, and theology. And even though they may not seem to connect, this podcast is all about how those three things really do. Not only do they intersect, but you'll find that they are tools for helping you navigate hard things like the question of who am I, what is my purpose, and how do I change my life narrative? I have around 8 years of radio broadcasting experience, and I recently quit my Chicago radio job to start a media marketing business and finish my clinical mental health counseling degree. I live on the west side of Chicago with my cat, Karen, and my handsome pastor man husband, John Miller. We are going to get real, hang out, laugh, and talk about knowing and owning who you are created to be. Think of this as a place where you can chat about your favorite fashion trends and then ask hard questions about mental health, relationships, and your faith. So basically, we're going to cover all the things. Most importantly, that your identity is covered in what Jesus did on the cross for you. So let's get started. Well, hello, hello. Welcome to the You Are Covered podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Lynn Miller, and it's so good to be behind the mic. I had a few months to just not talk, and it's been really nice. After having around 8 years of radio experience, it was really nice to just take some time. I didn't even write any content that had to do with teaching the Bible, just because I feel like it is such a honor to teach the Bible, but it can be a spiritual battle. And so I am happy and thankful to be back behind the mic teaching the Bible and providing fun while doing that, because we are going to be talking about all the things. So that's why I called it You Are Covered, because we're going to cover everything. We're going to talk about self-care this week. Self-care is a buzzword. Social media has been really interesting with the mental health field, because it's really provided a place for professionals to go ahead and share what they have learned about mental health topics. And it's really taken off because of the mental health field, which is so exciting. And I think it's amazing, super cool. But we're going to talk about self-care. We're going to break it down biblically. What does it look like? And I really feel convicted that when we talk about this, we talk about it in the lens of Jesus Christ. We talk about who we're called to be more like, right? We are called to be like Jesus. So we're going to talk about self-care. I found that there's two types of Christians when we talk about self-care. They react two different ways. The first is that they think self-care is selfish and self-centered. And I totally get this. I totally understand. And, you know, sometimes I go back and forth with that. I'm like, you know, where is the line? And I think that's why we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. And that's why a relationship with Jesus is really important, so that every day we are reevaluating, hey, how am I treating the people in my life? How am I treating myself? Am I treating my body like the temple of the Holy Spirit, because he lives and dwells in us? Those are just things that we all need to be evaluating, and it looks different for everyone. So I think before we have this conversation, that we peel back any kind of judgment that we've had, any kind of teaching that we've had, because we're constantly growing and the Holy Spirit's in us. And so we can trust those things. So I think that's the first reaction that I typically will see of a Christian who starts talking about self-care. It can be selfish, because there's a lot of Bible verses in God's word that talks about, you know, no selfish ambition or vain conceit. You know, you don't want to be selfish, right? That's clearly something that God doesn't want us to be out there looking like. The second thing that I see Christians talk about or feel when we talk about self-care is that we limit it to like doing your makeup or getting your hair done or getting your nails done. Or I know I definitely have thought that in the past, that self-care is maybe something that you buy or purchase. And I want to just totally debunk both of those beliefs. And let's look at it from a biblical perspective, right? The Bible says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And you can find that in Philippians 2, 3 through 4. So Paul and Timothy are talking to Philippi, the church in Philippi, and they are saying, hey, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Again, others focused. So where does the word self-care fit in? And then Paul goes on right after those two verses. He goes into detail about what Christ has done for us. And it's actually such a beautiful passage. I'm going to read a little bit of it for you, but you can check it out yourself. It's Philippians chapter 2. Who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God. So he's talking about Jesus, a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. I think this is a beautiful picture. Again, like how I started this off, we need to be more and more like Jesus. So Paul is telling this church, be like Jesus. And so I want to say that to you, let's be like Jesus. And sometimes when we read the Bible, you know, I think sometimes we take really catchy verses and we just, you know, and it's like one verse and we don't even look at the context really. And that's a whole nother topic for another day. But I think in this context, we need to be looking at what did Christ actually do? What does it look like to live like Jesus? And maybe we don't look at the words he said totally. I mean, we do. But maybe we also need to look at his actions. How did he live his life? And did Jesus practice self-care? When Jesus was on this earth, he was giving his whole life to us, even before he died on the cross for us. So I think we need to remember that, that everything that he did in those 34 years that he was on earth, he was teaching, he was giving, he was healing the sick, he was casting out demons, spiritual warfare, tiring stuff, like just giving of his heart, soul, mind, body, strength. And then in the end, he gave his entire life for us. And that's what we are called as Christians. So I think we need to put that into perspective. I got goosebumps just thinking about that. He was constantly having to respond to people who didn't understand his message or his purpose. Have you been there? He had to continue to answer the Pharisees who were always questioning him. That's so draining. He was casting out demons. He was teaching his disciples who also didn't understand the real reason he was there. He was always giving. And as Christians, that's what we're called to do as well. However, again, we need to look at his actions. Jesus took time to eat. That's in Matthew 26, 17. He took time to nap. Matthew 8, 23 through 27. He took time for solitude. Luke 5, 16 actually describes this as his custom. So it was his habit to take time for solitude. He took the time to pray. That's Matthew 14, 23. So he took care of himself physically and spiritually. And this is why I think that self-care and soul care are two different things. They can go together, they can overlap, but I really believe that there are two different things. But we see that Jesus does both of those things. And we'll cover soul care probably in the future. I'm talking about self-care, which is more of just knowing how to care for yourself. And honestly, it's kind of an unselfish thing if you think about it, because you're not relying on other people to do things for you. That's basically, at the very simplest, that is what it is. Sometimes we have to relearn how to take care of ourselves. We learn how to take care of ourselves based on how we were parented, how we were taken care of as a child. So just growing into a healthy, well-rounded adult to where we can rely on ourselves enough so that we can help other people. And I think that Jesus definitely did these things. Like, he didn't skip lunch to work and keep working. Like, he took the time to meet the physical needs that he had in order to serve others. And so I think that, again, this is something that's different for each person. It looks different, whatever it is, but you know yourself, and you know that there's some times when you have to say no to hanging out with family members because you're drained and you don't want to, because you're tired and you don't have the patience that you normally would, right? Or with a child, maybe you need some time alone so that you have patience and you don't react to their actions, because a lot of times that is hard, right? Self-care is knowing how to take care of yourself so others don't have to. And Jesus did that. At the very minimum, he took time for solitude, rest, he took time to nap, and he took time to eat. So I think that we can say it is biblical to practice some self-care. Now we're going to move on into the fashion news segment. And this time I want to go back and talk about something that I am learning more and more about. I want to read more on this topic, but we're going to go back in history and we're going to talk about something called fashion psychology, just because we are talking about self-care and what does that look like in all areas. And I think fashion definitely has a lot of areas of self-care tips that we can learn from, pull from, use as a tool. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So a little bit about fashion psychology. It started in 1869. That is like the earliest from what I've read when a psychologist started to write about fashion in regards to mental health. But it was the time when evolution was really being studied on and talked about. They were trying to think, okay, so where did we come from? And like all these philosophical questions. And so it was right in this time, and they really wanted to get rid of the idea of an identity, because and they wanted to talk about the soul, because it was typically got connected to religion. And these two areas of thought during this time wanted to take away religion because it didn't leave room for science and psychology. So during this time, there's a fashion psychologist named William James, and he studied a lot about identity. And I just love his works and his writings because he talks about identity, and I love researching about how what we believe about ourselves is played out into our lives. Here is a quote from the U.S. National Library of Medicine, National Institutes of Health. It's from a article titled The Self, William James' Philosophy of Dress. It's so interesting. And this is Professor Cecilia Watson. William James placed great importance on clothing, and this emphasis on apparel is reflected in his writings on psychology, in his letters, and in his own style of dress. James' interest in the self-expressive aspects of clothing was reflected in his attire, his descriptions of colleagues' clothing, his account book, and his chairmanship of Harvard's Committee on Academic Dress. So fascinating, but I think one of my favorite quotes from him is talking about animals and how they were complete. They were created to not need clothes. They had fur, whatever, and the elements, because a lot of times when we talk about clothing, it's so interesting. The psychologists and philosophy about clothing is that humans need it because they are not fully complete. They need clothing to protect themselves. William James says it's because of the soul and the identity and clothes that sets us differently from animals. So again, interesting things. It's right around the time when they were talking about evolution and in the soul of men. And then, you know, before that, their belief system revolved around religion completely. So I just find it really fascinating that the reason why we need clothes, a lot of people believe, one is protection, and then two is this not yet mentality, that we're not done yet. and that we needed clothes. And of course, if we read Adam and Eve story, they needed clothes when, you know, sin entered into the world. So I find it so fascinating because I really do believe that we are not done yet, right? We are going through a sanctification process, and that's what the Bible tells us. So that is your fashion psychology lesson for today. And here's a few ways that you can use fashion as a self-care tool. One, and this is something that I do, use fashion as a way to have fun in the morning. Just small ritual or a task or a habit, and put that into your day of enjoying your getting dressed time and picking out what to wear. I think what really helps is having an organized closet that is probably more minimalistic and not as overwhelming, unlike my closet. And I think just being able to have fun, being able to be creative, and getting into that habit can really help you start your day off right. Secondly, learn something new. Learn something new about how to dress well. Maybe incorporate a new piece or item into your wardrobe. You can always find new makeup techniques. I think that those are so much fun. One of my favorite YouTube video tutorial things to like binge on is definitely a new makeup technique. Fashion is always changing, and as humans, we should be changing too. If you are experiencing any kind of depression type symptom, you will find that the like small things in your day is really overwhelming. But if you can just do those small tasks every day and get through them, those things will become easier, especially on those low days. You need to have rituals built into your life. We're going to get into this later on in this podcast, but self-care tips for everyday use is different than if you have depression. Teach yourself something new and creative when it comes to getting ready, and you will be doing two things at once: getting ready for the day and teaching yourself a new skill. Thirdly, express your unique self with fashion. Again, this is something that the fashion psychologist always talks about, that fashion really is an expression of yourself and your identity and your belief systems. You are created unique, and we should really celebrate that. Fashion trends are fun, but there's something about finding a print item of jewelry or something that just screams you. Finding clothes that are uniquely you will help your confidence, give you a boost of self-esteem, and minimize anxiety. I really do believe that. Getting dressed in the morning is a ritual we all do, and it's a habit that we must participate in. Habits, according to James, are a series of muscular contractions, which, when the command start is issued by the mind, cue one another in proper order, like dominoes falling each in turn. And getting dressed in the morning is one of those habits that we all do to start our day. Why not have some fun with it? Take it from James. He was known to be dressed casually for that day, but instead of fitting into a culture where individuality and fashion was frowned upon and thought prideful, James wore polka-dotted ties during his lectures, which was not popular during his time. Self-remembrance and self-awareness, not self-forgetfulness, were at the heart of his style. Take away two lessons from our first fashion psychologist. Getting dressed is a beautiful ritual, one that we can rely on and base our day on. Fashion is to be an expression of our spiritual soul, self-awareness, and individuality. Self-expression and the morning ritual of getting dressed are both reasons why fashion is a great self-care tool to put in your mental health toolbox. When talking about self-care for mental health, I think that the conversation should be different for those who are preventing stress or burnout versus someone who is in the middle of depression. Again, this is something that I feel really passionate about. If you are in depression, these are crucial for you. It's so important. I think it's so different when you are teaching yourself resiliency in the midst of trauma, in the midst of stress, in the midst of burnout. That is where you find yourself already in depression, because it's more of a survival tool than something that is preventative. And from now in this season of life, and I have been in burnout depression, these self-care tips is more of something that I'm building into my life so that when there are hard days, I will be ready and I will have more resilience versus someone who's already in depression and in a low day. You'll cling on to these a lot more. So just putting that out there. We like to talk about something called resilience in counseling, and resilience is the ability to carry whatever life throws at us. Learning how to properly take care of ourselves creates better resilience. Just like physically healthy people who exercise and eat well, they can bounce back from an illness. Mentally healthy people can bounce back from trauma, grief, and loss. And that's why self-care tips to practice regularly is a great tool to build resilience. Mentally healthy people can enjoy life, have the ability to laugh and have fun. They are able to deal with stress and bounce back from any kind of adversity. They feel a sense of meaning and purpose in their activities and their relationships. They're flexible and able to adapt to change. They're also able to build and maintain fulfilling relationships. But I like to say that when you are emotionally healthy and you're taking care of yourself and you're doing these self-care practices, it's a lot lighter. Like, life just feels a lot lighter. I think counseling can be a form of self-care because it helps you with your day-to-day life. It is taking the time to get the help that you need. And you need to know for yourself when that time is, when you feel like it is time. I need help. I need something extra in my life. I need to talk to somebody. And when you do, you just feel lighter. So if life is feeling heavy and you feel like the easy tasks are hard for you, it might be time to talk to somebody. And at the very least, let's practice a few of these self-care tips. Number one, priority. So I have a list on my phone of tasks that are priority. I have other lists for other things to get done, but I know that if I don't finish that list of priority, two things might happen. I might not be able to start on my other lists, or I put the tasks that take up the most energy in that priority list, because if I don't finish those things, then I'll get burnt out and not able to finish the other tasks. It's the same thing when you are putting yourself on the list. When you are taking yourself seriously and you're deciding, I am going to make myself a priority. It is not that you're not going to take care of other people or think of other people. It is literally that you are putting yourself on the list to take care of yourself so that you have the energy to properly take care of the others in your life, the other loved ones in your life. Put taking care of yourself on the list so that you can take care of the others that you love. Okay, take time to journal and meditate. I've been doing this just a way better job this year of journaling, keeping track of my emotions, writing down how I feel through situations, and self-regulating. I think this is so crucial because another thing about depression, I'll just say this right here, is that if you have a tendency of negative thinking, you can drain yourself because you think through that lens. So if you say you had this great trip with your family, but you come back and you focus on the two things that went wrong, that is how you're going to live your life. You are going to look through the lens of depression. You're going to look through the lens of those two things. But if you're journaling each day through that trip, you can look back and say, wow, I went to the beach with my mom and we talked about how I used to collect seashells when I was a little kid. And that brought me really great joy. And then you can remember those things accurately, because if you're going, especially if you have depression, you're not going to be able to fully understand or remember memories correctly. This is a great practice to get into. So that's one tip. The other thing is I use a scripture meditation app. I found it easier to digest scripture every day because I was listening to it three times. They read the scripture three times. Then they pull out a prayer from, and you kind of like pray with the guided meditation. And then you also get a takeaway. Like, how am I going to treat others based on the scripture? And I will probably put the app in the description of the show notes so that you can all try that out. But I think that's a really great thing. I think there's a time and a place, I guess, but I really don't think that it's healthy to fully empty your mind. I believe that listening to God's word and putting that into your heart and creating space to listen to the whispers of God is really crucial. And consistently reading God's word and filling truth into your mind is a great way to live your life. Okay, lastly, and we kind of talked about this with the fashion self-care tips, but this one is another thing that you can do. Just learn something new. It can be fun. It could be something for your job. I found that learning something new as an entrepreneur is really helpful and beneficial for me to not get burnout. Learning something new in that field helps me stay motivated to continue to go. It helps you to continue to run the marathon, if you will. But learning something new, even if you have depression, this is a really good tip. It does alleviate stress because you feel accomplished. You feel ready to tackle the next challenge in your life. And I firmly believe that you and I, we're never going to be too old to learn. And I'm saying that now so that I can continue to say that. All these things are great daily habits to get into, and I hope that you can pull away from some of these things. Jesus practiced self-care. Self-care is, simply put, knowing how to properly take care of yourself so you can take care of other people well. Fashion is a great mental health tool to put into your tool belt. It is a great way to start your morning and really enjoy what you wear and who you are, who God has uniquely called you to be. I think that fashion can be an expression of that. Take some time for yourself and build resiliency by practicing self-care. Put that in your mental health toolbox, as I always like to say it. And these are all things that we can do daily. Great daily habits to get into. And I want to tell you that coming up, we are going to have another episode, and it is going to be around daily habits. So please take the time and subscribe. Make sure that you are aware of when the next episodes are going to drop. You can follow me on social media at You Are Covered Podcast. Also, Hannah Lynn Miller on all the platforms. And make sure you're subscribed to our newsletter because I roll out fashion tips, mental health tips, and also Bible studies. So, stay connected. I would love to hear from you. And yeah, this is the first episode. I had a lot of fun writing this. I'm very passionate about this tip, this tool, self-care. And take the time to subscribe so that you don't miss another episode. Leave a review. This is just a way for others to learn about the podcast so that I can connect, you can connect with others who love mental health tips, fashion, and Jesus. Thanks ahead of time. I am thrilled for this season. I cannot tell you how excited I am to get behind a mic again. This podcast is a production of Abundantly More Media. I'm Hannah Lynn, and you are covered. See you on the next episode. Thanks for listening and watching. Can you make sure that you are subscribed so I can see you again? Make sure you're subscribed to the You Are Covered podcast wherever you're listening or watching this show, and take some time to review it on iTunes. This goes such a long way. I know it takes like a few seconds to get there, but it really, really matters, and I would so appreciate it. It goes a long way, and it helps us build a community here in the digital space. So thanks so much ahead of time. As always, know that Jesus got you, girl, and you are covered. Be blessed.